Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Right now, it is time for my buddy. He walked in the door and says, good morning, and that means that Dr. History's here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Zeb.
How are you?
I'm great.
You know, you and I have talked many, many times on this program about, and we might as well tell the audience, we were talking about it a little bit before we started this morning, about how speech and speech mannerisms and the eloquency of speech has changed from the Old West till today.
I don't know that we could understand them if we were all of a sudden placed back there 150 years ago.
I agree.
It would be different.
It would be a lot different. But you also have some local stories for this
I do.
Week. I'd like to hear about this.
Okay. This is a guy by the name of Thomas Gray, and I showed you this picture.
Yeah. He looks like, he could sit right there on the hills today. He's got a pair of chaps on, and
yeah,
he's ready to go to
he
work.
He looks like he could just fit right in, and yep. He was born in 1877
okay.
over here in Albion.
Oh.
So not very far from where we're at. So, folks, right here, not too far from the Snake River where we're at, is where he was born, and this is taken from his stories, so I give quite a bit of credibility to the story here. You always ask me how accurate are the stories, and I think this one is pretty much right on.
Okay.
So I've got a couple of stories here. Early in the 1890s, hundreds of horses were trailed out of Oregon and California through this country headed for the eastern market. Now, the outfits would often lose horses from the herds, and these animals would then be left to kind of run wild on the range, just like with cows. You know, they'd lose a few cows as they went along sometimes. But when the local ranches were gathering their herds, they would sometimes keep one or two of these strays if they didn't recognize the brand.
Yeah.
So they just put them into their herd.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a guy named Frank Ross, and he ran a bunch of horses on a place called Three Creek. Do you know where that is? It's around here somewhere.
What's the name of the creek?
Three Creek. Three?
Oh, Three Creek's out at Rogerson.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's where he was, and he branded with the number three on the left jaw of his horses.
Really?
Okay. So he had an old pet horse named Billy that did not carry his brand or any other brand from this country. It had an unfamiliar brand, in other words.
On the jaw.
Yeah, and I had never heard of that, branding on the jaw. Okay. Anyway, Billy was on the range, and he got farther south than the rest of Ross's horses. There's a group of men, a family called the O'Neills. Well, they were out rounding up their herd, and they came across Billy.
Now, I wonder if that is the family that O'Neill Basin was named
after.
I'll bet it is, because
it was right here. But
anyway,
they knew all the brands that belonged in this country, and seeing the brand on Billy, figured he'd been lost by a trail outfit and decided to take him on home. They had him at the ranch for some time. Well, Frank Ross, you know, that was his kind of a favorite horse, and he began wondering what happened to old Billy and asking around, and he found a man who'd been by the O'Neills and said he had seen the horse there. Well, Frank got his Winchester.
Uh-oh.
Stepped on his horse and went over to see the O'Neills.
Went to see them.
Anyway, it was late in the evening when he got there. One of the ranch hands had been mowing hay with Billy all day.
Uh-oh.
And had just driven in for the night. He had a bronco hitched in with old Billy. That didn't sit too good with Frank.
I bet he was a little bit upset.
Yeah. So Frank told the O'Neills, he says Billy was his horse and he'd come after him. They told Frank that if it was his horse, he was welcome to take him. But they figured since it was so late, Frank might as well stay the night and eat. And
they invited him in to eat?
Yeah. And keep in mind, Frank was not there on a too good of a
not
mood.
Not with a Winchester in his hand.
So anyway, Frank said he was mad when he went over there, and even madder when he saw the man come in from working his old pet horse alongside a bronco. But he was treated so good. He could not say anything that night, and when Frank got ready to go the next morning, he told Jim O'Neill, he said it was all right, this time to have one of his horses, but he said if it ever happened again, somebody might get killed.
So wait a minute. Let's set the story here correctly. He was invited to stay the night.
Right.
He was fed supper and breakfast, and then when he departed, he says, I'm going to come back and kill you if you take another one of my horses.
And he got his horse back.
Right.
So anyway, you know, Jim O'Neill said, and this is that wasn't the end of it. Jim O'Neill said, well, Mr. Ross, if things around here don't look just right to you, maybe we better pull that shooting scrap off before you leave this morning.
So, wait a minute. What happened to all the good citizenry here? Yeah.
Well, and this guy says, I remember hearing Frank telling my father and some of the neighbors he saw that he had started something that was perfectly agreeable, so he took his horses and left.
I see.
Wisely so. So anyway, speaking of trail outfits, and again, this is coming from this guy, coming through early in the 1890s, two kids were out riding one day and ran onto two strays. He says, we couldn't recognize the brands, so took them home for our father to look them over. He said he didn't know the brands and that we could keep the horses, but never to sell or trade them as someone might come looking for them. No one ever did claim them, and they lived on the ranch until the day they died. Well, one is a gentle bay saddle horse branded with a D on the left shoulder.
Left shoulder.
Now, that's more common.
Yeah. Or the left hip.
Yeah. Yep. But the bay was named Snipe. Okay. I think everybody had a horse named Snipe, didn't they?
You know, they either had one named that, Snipe or Snip, and then they always had a horse named Cowboy.
That's right. Yep. Well, anyway, he says, after we rode old Snipe a while, we could tell he had been trained to run and would still do so for short distances.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, lots of cowboys used to come to our house, and they would sometimes have horses they could run. They would get to talking about races to us, and we would tell them we had an old saddle horse. We would run against theirs for about 200 yards.
Uh-huh.
They would call us on it, and as the horses came up to the scorer, which I guess was the starter, and the judge, and he hollered, go, Snipe was gone in a flash. He would get out about two jumps start on the other horses, and they could not catch him in the short races. We would sometimes win $5 from the cowboys.
There you go, a whole $5.
Now, he says most of the cowboys never caught on that he was a trained racehorse.
I see.
So, anyway, now, going to go on to another little story about this Thomas Gray. He says, in the 1890s, this country had a lot of cowboys willing to spend all their money to look fancy.
Now, he's about 13 years old then, right? He was born in 1877.
Yep, just a young kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we've talked about this, the cowboys, they like to dress pretty fancy sometimes.
Yeah, they were a little flamboyant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they had silver-mounted spurs with conchos on them.
Some things never change.
And sometimes, now, a concho is, of course, the rowel or the or no, wait a minute.
No, it's on the spur strap.
That's right. It's on the spur strap.
It's on the spur strap.
And sometimes they even had what they call catchers on the shank to hook the spurs in the cinch when the horse was bucking.
Yeah.
So that was just kind of a little lip type thing, right?
Yeah. And then, of course, they always had the jingle bobs.
Yes, we're going to talk about that.
Yep.
Anyway, there's a guy named Frank Hubbs who was often called the Silver Mounted Cowboy because he was very fond of silver mountings on his saddle, his bridle, a bit, spurs, even his six-shooter was silver mounted, and as were his suspenders.
Suspenders?
Silver mounted suspenders.
Huh.
He may have looked fancy, but that would not have carried him for too long. He was also a darn good cowboy. He was an expert roper who seldom missed, and he caught what he aimed for, and he could throw his 65-foot riata full length and catch any animal. Now, riata is a leather
braided rope. Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he was good, besides looking good. So when I'm on the golf course, I look good, but I don't do good.
I was just going to mention that to you.
Anyway.
You know, now, a little bit of that might be all brag and not fact.
Well, anyway, let's get back to Frank. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, many a time, he says, I've seen 15 to 20 cow horses tied to the hitching rack in town. The cowboys would walk along Main Street with their chaps and their spurs on. The spurs would jingle and jangle as they hit the board sidewalks.
Yep, yep.
And the spurs they wore had long chains hooked on them and rattled in the stirrups.
And they always used to say they're going to go to town, so they had to put their spurs in the town hole. Did you ever hear that phrase?
No, I never heard that phrase.
That means dropping them down a little lower on the boot so that they would rake along on the boardwalks.
Well, they were definitely a sight to behold,
yeah,
I'm sure.
They
but,
were.
So anyway, the cowboys in southern Idaho rode what they call center-fired saddles, some with tapaderos.
Yep.
Now, a tapadero is kind of a leather covering
of the stirrup.
Of the stirrup.
Yep.
And some of them would hang down 24 to 28 inches.
Yeah, the you know,
halfway to the ground.
My dad had a set of tapaderos back in Wisconsin. And they're really good if you're riding in a lot of brush and everything, but they're heavy. And they can really, they can hurt your ankles being in the stirrups.
But I guess on the positive side, they protect your feet, your boots.
Yeah.
So anyway, they carried long rawhide ropes that I mentioned called riatas and dallied around their saddle horns. The cowboys' boots were the brand Buckingham and Heck. Have you heard of that? Buckingham and Heck.
That terminology?
Boots. Yeah, the
that
brand.
That must have been an
Or was
old...
that a type of a boot?
I don't know. I think it was probably the company that built or made the boots. I don't know.
I need to check on that. Anyway.
You know, I got to stop you right there. That always amazed me in the Old West. Did you ever think about how never were there boot sizes or boots sized back then like they are now? I mean, you basically had to ram your foot into one. If it fit anywhere close, you were going to take it.
Yeah. However, if you had enough money to have one custom made,
there you go.
Then you were okay.
Yeah.
And anyway, wouldn't be seen without a vest and a silk handkerchief tied around his neck.
Big Ben Denny.
Anyway, there's an old guy named Pete Myers, an old Texas trail driver, and he helped drive 2,000 head of cattle to Cheyenne, Wyoming in 1887. After that trip, he, like most of the cowboys, looked for a chance to spend his earnings for the year and have some fun. So generally, they managed to spend every dime they made and had to go on the company grub line for the winter. Now, Pete decided to go to Kansas City, Kansas, to see what it had to offer.
Mm-mm.
When he came back, he had an overcoat with him. Some of the cowboys got to looking at it, and they said, "This is a pretty fine coat, isn't it, Pete?" Pete looked them straight in the eye and replied, "Heck, it ought to be fine. Cost me $1,700.
Heck? Yeah, I bet.
Cost me $1,700.
$1,700?
Yeah. You wouldn't spend that today on a... Anyway.
I am a cheap person.
I am, too. Timex watches.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so now in 1895, the shoe sole, which you've heard of...
Right over here.
...trailed a herd of cattle to American Falls, which, folks, for us, is just about 70 miles east of where we are right now.
Yep.
And they shipped them to the Eastern Market. And there were lots of cowboys in this town, and some people had come in from the east. One group of Easterners had a band with them, and the band was off to one side when one or two of the cowboys strolled over to listen to the music. Now, the Easterners soon let the cowboys know that they were not welcome. That's not something you do, Zeb. That didn't set too well with them, so they got their heads together and went back over. Now, walking over to the band, one or two of the cowboys pulled out their six-shooters and started shooting. And then they said to the band, "Play you," and then it's just a blank, "Play."
Well, doctor,
there's not even a word there.
I'm sure that you could fill in the blanks.
No, I'm not going to.
They didn't shoot the instruments.
No, they just shot in the air. The band told them certainly they certainly would.
They changed their personality.
If they would stop shooting.
Yeah.
So the band not only played, but the Easterners took the cowboys down to the saloon, buying them all the whiskey they could drink. They decided that, you know, maybe these guys ought to be our friends.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, so... Anyway, the majority of cowboys are good-hearted and not hard to get along with if you know how to take them. And when a poor widow or an orphan child needed help, you could always count on the cowboys to throw in. He says, I have sat on the sidewalk in town among the cowboys in bygone days when some little boy or girl, not too well-dressed, would come strolling by. The cowboys would run their hands down in their pockets, pull out 25 or 50 cents and hand it to the child, and soon the little one would have a whole handful of money. They would talk and joke with the child a little, and then let him go away feeling rich.
There
and
you
that's,
go.
You that know, that's nice. Just that's the cowboy. Yep. It really is. The spirit.
And you know, that's still, in a lot of cases, the way it is.
It is. It really is.
Yep.
You know, now, a cowboy's worst enemy is, and you know this, Zeb, a badger. And most cowboys would say they hated a badger even worse than they hated a rattlesnake.
Yeah.
Badger holes have caused many cowboys to suffer some very bad falls, ruined many a good horse for life.
That's right.
And horses raised on the range where badger holes are abundant will look out for the holes. And, you know, I've ridden and you've ridden, and, you know, the horses are kind of watching,
yep,
you know.
Yep.
When you're going at a gallop, they're kind of watching out for you.
It's a wreck looking for a place to happen.
Yeah. Anyway, when this is the case, the cowboy usually stands a better chance, leaving the side, stepping to the horse, let him do it.
Yep.
And it used to be nothing to see a cowboy down off his horse, holding his shooter out, pointed at a badger hole, waiting to shoot the head off that little menace of the range.
Little menace of the range? I'm not sure.
They're not
that's
that
the,
little.
I'm not sure that's the correct verbiage right there.
Well, it says menace here,
yeah,
Zeb, and
yeah,
it's in parentheses,
yeah,
so it's, that must have been what they said.
I'm sure.
I'm sure they call them menaces.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of some stories about southern Idaho right through here where we live.
You know, it would be interesting to go back and do some stories on the UC, the big ranch that took over this area right here of Magic Valley.
Yeah.
And with all the horses that were raised for the government and all the cattle and everything.
Yeah, this and, used to be a huge, this whole Magic
right through
Valley
here
was a huge ranch area.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of head of cattle.
And then all the stories about the old town of Rock Creek.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've got some in, about Rock Creek that I could tell about.
What about this guy, the book about this guy? Whatever happened to him? How long did he live, et cetera? Does it say?
You know, I'm not sure how long he actually lived.
Does it give any information about his demise or whatever? He's born in 1877.
Yeah, actually, he talks about the winter of 1916 to 17.
Wow.
So he must have got up there a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah. But anyway, I like this book because I think it's pretty accurate as to how they talked and what they saw and what life was really like for the cowboys right in, well, not just here, but all over the West.
Now, he was born up in Albion.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's see. I'm trying to think. 1877. How does that equate to the gentleman? Diamondfield Jack, yes.
Oh, he was later.
He was later.
Yeah, that was more, because he didn't die until, like, 1949.
Didn't he die in a car accident down in Las Vegas?
He got hit by a taxi.
Hit by a taxi or something.
Yeah, after evading being hung several times, being shot at, being a multimillionaire, and he died poor.
He had a lot of money at one
time.
Oh,
millions.
Yeah.
He had mines down in Nevada that made him millions of dollars.
Really?
And he lost it all.
That's the same as your story, isn't it?
I've invested in some things that didn't turn out so good.
You know, really, when you talk about the history of this area with the river, the Snake River, and the crossing of the river, and, you know, the getting crossed on the Oregon Trail to cross the canyon and everything, man, oh, man, those people were tough.
They were.
And they were very inventive.
They were.
Very inventive.
Now, you know, I don't know if you saw the Times News newspaper last Sunday. They had quite a few articles about, like Rock Creek and the City of Rocks.
Yes.
And actually, they had the story I told about Chief Joseph in there. And for you people that are, you're considered underprivileged unless you have bought my CD.
And boy, there's a plug.
Yeah, and listen to my stories as you travel from Burley through Declo, Albion, City
CD?
Of Rocks, over to Oakland, back to Burley. You can get them at the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, I'm plugging for you.
I appreciate it because I only need to sell 700 more to break even. And you can get them at the Casia Museum. And actually, they are up to at Tracy's store in Alamo.
Alamo.
That's the oldest store still functioning, I think, in Idaho.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was like 18. 1897 or anyway, and the Tracys, if you read that article, they've tried to bring back some of the old look for the Tracy store. You got to stop in there, anybody that goes past there.
You know what we ought to do? We ought to ask this. We ought to put this out in front of the public, that if you or you know of any family members that had ties to certain events here in the Magic Valley or the state of Idaho in years gone by, they ought to try to get a hold of us and
sure.
give us the information.
Yeah.
We'd love to have it on the
just
program.
Go to my webpage, and on comments, you can just put your name and your story there on comments, and I'll email you back. I always do.
Good.
So, yep. Just drhistory.com. Go on there, and under comments, just it'll come to me. And
you know, we've talked about this briefly in other circumstances, but when you go into an old Western cafe, you know, an old restaurant or whatever, you never really knew too much about the environment or how sanitary or how hygienic it was or wasn't.
The food was always good. You know, I remember going up in Shoshone. There was an old one up there we used to go in, and there was one old one in Oakley there used to be there, you know, and there was an old one in Declo.
Yeah.
They just had an atmosphere they just don't get anymore.
Atmosphere.
That's the
word
story.
You're going to stick with.
Sticking by my story.
But really, you often wondered about how the meat or the food or whatever was taken care of. And
I always figured if the locals weren't there and they were still alive, you were probably okay.
Oh, that's a good advertisement. They're still alive. Let's eat it. Yeah. But, you know, food in the old days, I mean, man, that was just kind of hard to put together in a group and serve. And
well, you know, in Europe, of course, in England, it was a daily thing. The wives would go every day to the market and buy fresh killed, because you didn't have refrigeration. So you had every day they would go to the market and get their fruits, their vegetables, their meat.
Yeah.
So and I think they probably had to do that here as much as possible.
Wow.
But I think a lot of it was pork. Salted,
and
you know.
A lot of them had cast iron stomachs, too.
They would have to.
Doctor, you did it again. Great program this morning. We're out of time already.
I know, it's great. Because I'm out of story.
What are we going to talk about next
That's
week?
That's a good question.
That's why I asked.
I know.
Thank you. Dr. History, one of my dear friends on Zebeth Ranch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.